Father, we thank you for your presence. Lord, your presence has been rich among us this morning. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to come into your presence to worship you and to exalt your name. And Father, we thank you for the ways in which you have been ministering to us this morning. And Lord, we ask you to continue that work in us. Continue that transformation. Continue that deliverance. Continue that healing. Continue that inner revelation. And Lord, we ask you, God, also to speak to us through your word. Father, I pray to our hearts would be good soil, that your word would produce fruit, and that Christ would be exalted, and Christ alone would be seen, and that Christ would receive all the glory. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And amen. So last week we started a series on the book of Daniel. For those of you who are new, the outline of some of what I hope to say is in the middle of your bulletin so that you can follow along and in your own time also go back through some of these scriptures. The book of Daniel is one of those fascinating books. It's like the Old Testament book equivalent to the book of Revelation. And we said what we're doing in this series is just looking at some of the themes that run throughout the book. We're not going verse by verse or chapter by chapter necessarily. We're just looking at some of the themes. And so last week we saw earliest theme is be faithful to the end. That Daniel and the Hebrew boys in chapter 1 made up their minds from the get-go that they would not defile themselves with the king's food and that they would be faithful. They knew that rejecting the king's food had the possibility of them losing their lives or being imprisoned, because the person who was in charge of them indicated that if they looked not as well as other young men, that he would lose his head, because Nebuchadnezzar wasn't into just playing around. He was a serious king. But they made up their mind to be faithful to God no matter what, and that faithfulness ran through the entire book, and that's why it ended up in the fiery furnace. That's why Daniel ended up in the lion's den, because of his faithfulness to the end, being prepared to die rather than to compromise their faith. Today I want to talk about dreams. Once you start reading through the book of Daniel, you're going to see lots of dreams and visions. And we need to, as New Testament Christians, understand the importance of dreams. It's one of the ways that we are promised that God would speak to us in these last days. So turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 29. And I'm going to read verses 7 and 8. Isaiah 29, verses 7 and 8. This may be a no-brainer, but dreams occur usually while we're sleeping. While visions tend to occur while we're awake. That's a big difference between them. So that's the type of dream I'm talking about. I'm not talking about when you're awake and you're daydreaming. I'm talking about when you're actually sleeping and you experience a dream. And that's, as we go through in Daniel, you'll see what happened. But just to help us to appreciate some basic things about dreams, here in Isaiah 29, verses 7 and 8, the Lord gives us some insights. He says, "And the multitude of all the nations who wage war against Ariel," Ariel is another name for Israel, "even all who wage war against her and her stronghold and who distress her, will be like a dream, a vision of the night." Verse 8. "It will be as when a hungry man dreams, and behold, he's eating, but when he awakens, his hunger is not satisfied. Or when a thirsty man dreams, and behold, he's drinking, but when he awakens, behold, he's faint, and his thirst is not quenched. Thus, the multitude of all the nations will be who wage war against Mount Zion. So without going into what Isaiah was talking about, just focusing on verse 8, here you see the Lord stating some things that people could relate to, that you can have dreams and it comes primarily from psychological sources. Or, as we've seen Daniel, it can come from spiritual sources. We know from experience the devil can attack us in our dreams. But in Daniel, we're looking at more the Lord speaking through dreams. So when you get a dream, you have to try and discern what's happening here. Is this solely because of what I'm going through psychologically? It talks about when a hungry man dreams that he's eating. I don't know if you ever had a dream like that, but I've had one or two where there's such a nice set of food in front of me, a nice steak, and I can feel my saliva. And just as I'm about to eat it, I wake up and I'm like, oh no! Put me back to sleep so I can finish that meal. Well, that's coming purely from what you're going through physically or psychologically. And we have a lot of those that we may experience, you might find yourself running, and fearful. And usually it's because you have something you need to do that you really would prefer not to do. Maybe a public presentation, maybe some sort of assignment, and you have that inner fear, and it comes out in your dream. And so there's a lot of psychological impact. Some of you, if you watch some crazy stuff on television, you might have a not-so-nice dream because of what you just watched. So when we dream and you remember it, you have to stop and say, well, where is this coming from? And as I said many times, it might just be because of what you're going through, what you're experiencing. It's not necessarily that it is the Lord who's speaking to you. But there are times when God does speak to us through dreams. So turn with me then to Job, book of Job, verses 14 through to 17. This is what Job says, or the Elihu who's talking to Job. It says, indeed, God speaks once or twice, yet no one notices. In a dream, a vision of the night, when sound sleep falls on men, while they slumber in their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, that he may turn man aside from his conduct and keep him from pride. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from passing over into Sheol. So what we have here is Elihu saying and declaring some facts, some realities, saying that God speaks. God is trying to get our attention. And for whatever reason, busy, we're up and down, we're just not hearing. So the Lord says, you know what? Since Joe Campbell, my son, is so busy, I'll wait until he's asleep. Then I can speak to him. I can drop something in his spirit. I can seal something in his ear. And I can give it to him in a dream. That's what it said here in the book of Job. And so God does speak to us through dreams. And it behoves you and me to be able to discern it and to respond to it. Here in Job, it's describing, apparently, even people who are not saved. And we know that God speaks to people who are not saved. And he says that he's trying to talk to them, and they just won't listen. So in the night, he drops a word into their ear, into their heart. And his reason, his motive in this case here is to actually save them, is to actually turn them aside from his conduct and keep that person from pride. So knowing this, it should give you and me confidence to pray for our prodigals, to pray for an unsaved person, and to say, Lord, speak to them in their dream. Lord, drop something into their hearts, oh God, to turn them around so that they can come into the kingdom of God as part of the purpose for dreams. And so God does that. But oftentimes he's waiting on us to pray and to ask him to intervene in that way. There have been several Muslims who have come to Christ. And have come to Christ because Christ appeared to them in their dream and caused them to realize that he is the Messiah, that he is the one they should follow and not Muhammad and his teachings. So God speaks to save and unsaved through dreams. It's a vital avenue when people just too busy, have too many things around them, too many distractions. He says, okay, when they are quiet, when they can't do anything else, I will seal my word into their hearts. I have friends, and this happened to me too, I remember, when I was in college trying to solve certain issues, that you go to bed not figuring out, I don't know how to solve this. And you wake up in the morning and immediately know the answer. I know exactly what to do. Well, what happened is that while I was asleep, God dropped something in my spirit and sealed it and gave me the answer to whatever situation I was facing. So that's what dreams are like. God uses them to circumvent, I put here in my notes, distractions, and to speak to us. And so throughout Scripture, starting from the book of Genesis, you'll see God speaking to people in dreams. It's one of the earliest form I put here of divine communication. The scripture I have there is a scripture of Abimelech. When Abimelech took Sarah from Abraham to be, because Abraham said she was his sister. And that night, God spoke to Abimelech in a dream and said, if you touch that woman, you're a dead man. And the Lord helped Abimelech to realize that that woman is actually Abraham's wife. But God spoke to this pagan king in a dream. And protected him and protected Sarah. He told him in the dream what he must do, that he should go and talk to Abraham, he's a prophet, and he'll pray for him. But it's one of the earliest forms of communication. And as I said here, he speaks to both the righteous and the unrighteous through dreams. So we can continue praying. We're praying for leaders, presidents, and all these type of people, for God to speak to them in their dreams, for God to appear to them, for God to do whatever he needs to do to get his word across to them. So they would recognize that there is a God in heaven to whom they have to give an account. So dreams then can be, for the believer, well, a part of the spiritual realm. It's one of the promises from Joel 2, 28. It says that in the last days I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your young men shall have visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your daughters and maidens shall prophesy. It's part of God's promise to this the age of the Spirit, which is the age in which we live, that there would be an increase in dreams, an increase in visions coming from the Spirit of God, coming because we're walking in the Spirit and we're Spirit-filled people. Therefore, you and me, we should be anticipating more and more dreams from God. We should be anticipating more and more visions from God. It's part of what is promised for this age, this dispensation of the church. Numbers 12 and verse 6. The Lord is talking about Moses, but here he says in verse 6 to the people, hear now my words. I think Moses' sister and others had rebelled against him a little bit. He says, hear now my words. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. So it's part of the prophetic realm. It's part of how we're supposed to function as a prophetic people. But then he goes on to say, not so with my servant Moses. He's faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly and not in dark sayings. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then are you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? And so the idea here is that Moses had a privilege of hearing from God face to face. Same privilege that we have today. To hear from God face to face and directly, but then also dreams is part of the promise from Joel that he'll also speak to us through dreams, because sometimes there are things that God wants to say to us and we're just not at the place to actually receive it. We're just so busy we can't even stop to hear. The Apostle Paul, he got a vision, not a dream, but it's the same idea here. In Acts 16, he was on his missionary journey with his team, and the Spirit of God wouldn't allow them to go into certain cities. And then it says in that night, he got a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, come over here and help us. And that was one of the ways in which God was able to communicate to Paul and his team, said, listen, I want you to go to Macedonia. They were trying to figure out where to go, and for some reason they couldn't discern exactly, so God spoke to them through a vision. And I say that to say that sometimes God will speak to you and me through a vision, through a dream, as he's trying to lead us, as he's trying to direct us. It doesn't mean that we're not in tune. We are in tune, but there are some things we just can't receive unless we get it in that way. And so it's part of what we should expect and anticipate as a New Testament church of God. So I put here that baptism in the Holy Spirit, or spirit baptism, is one of the experiences we have that open us up into the prophetic realm. Because that's what Peter said on the day of Pentecost, as he heard them speaking in tongues and prophesying. And he says, listen, this is the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. So this then, my friends, is part of how God has called us, you and me. If you are spirit-filled, if you have been experienced this immersion into the Spirit of God, then you have been immersed into the prophetic realm. And you should anticipate God speaking to you through dreams and through visions. Now to the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 2, the king had a dream. And the king asks a very difficult task. He asks all of these wise men and others to come and tell him what the dream was. And they were saying, no, king, you tell us the dream and we'll interpret it. And he said, no. If you can't tell me what this dream is, all of you are going to lose your heads. How many would like to serve a king like that? I'm like, no, king, you know what? Let me just take care of my farm here. I don't want to be one of the wise men. Just leave me alone. And so Daniel got word. And so Daniel said, take me to the king. And Daniel understood that God can give the same dream to more than one person. The same dream God can give to more than one individual. And so Daniel went to the Lord. And the Lord gave Daniel the dream that he gave to Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel came and shared the dream with the king. And then the king says, okay, your God is the God of all gods. That's Daniel 2 and verse 47. The king answered Daniel and said, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries, since you've been able to reveal this mystery. And so in the dream, oftentimes things are spoken you see it in pictures, in parables, and God is the one who reveals the meaning of dreams. And oftentimes in a dream, mysteries are exposed, are revealed to us. But you also have it where different dreams can actually have the same meaning. So you and I can't just put things in a nice, neat box. And with Pharaoh got two different dreams. He got dreams of a slim cow and a fat cow. And he got dreams of a stalk, slim stalk of corn and a fat stalk of corn. Two different dreams, but they end up having the same exact meaning. Joseph said to him, both dreams are telling you the same thing, king, that you're going to have 7 years of plenty and 7 years where things are going to be rough. And so it's important for us to put those things in the back of our minds, that different people get the same dream and that different dreams can have the same meaning. So we have to always be dependent upon the Lord to give us understanding and insights into dreams. So I'm in Daniel chapter 2, verse 28. Daniel says to the king, however, there's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while on your bed. As for you, O king, while on your bed, your thoughts turn to what would take place in the future. And he reveals mysteries, has made known to you what will take place. So what we have here then is the king, before he goes to bed, he's thinking about the future and wondering, what will the future be like and what's going to happen in the future? And so it starts out natural. Starts out in a natural realm. The king is thinking about these things, trying to see if he can perhaps plan towards it, whatever was his motive behind it. He was trying to get an understanding of things to come. And then he fell asleep and got this dream of this statue with all the different, we're not going to go through these dreams today. We'll look at the dreams another time, but the statue with the head of gold and the chest of silver and bronze going down to the waist, and then the feet of iron and bronze mixed together. He got this picture, this dream, and he didn't understand it. But it flowed from out of the natural, out of the psychological, into the spiritual dimension. And so I put here my notes that your dream can transition from psychological into spiritual. You can be here thinking about a situation and your dream, and really it's the Lord who's speaking to you. Even though it started out with you being concerned about a particular issue, you might be concerned, let's say, for a loved one, a child, you know. And next thing you know, you go to bed and you get a dream. And God is showing you something that perhaps to help that child or to help you prepare for something ahead. But it starts out in the natural. You've been thinking about what, you know, what should happen for this person. What are they going through? And so we shouldn't just automatically say, well, it's because I was thinking about this while I dream it. No. Stop and say, Lord, is that you? Are you showing me something that pertains to myself or to somebody else? Because remember, we are of the prophetic realm. Remember, we are in the age when God promises he speaks to us through dreams and visions. So we should always be anticipating it and always be in communion with the Lord, saying, Lord, what does this mean? Is this you? The dream may be plain or symbolic. Plain meaning sometimes you understand it clearly. You can see what's going to happen. The one here for Nebuchadnezzar was symbolic, as Daniel goes on to explain to him the different kingdoms that was going to come after him, and that if there would be a rock that is cut out from the mountain that strikes the foot of that statue, and that rock represents the kingdom of God. But that all of that was symbolic. And so Daniel got the interpretation from the Lord. And even though it came to Nebuchadnezzar, obviously because it's written here, it is a dream for all of us down through the ages. And that by itself amazes me that God would give a dream like this to a pagan king, telling this pagan king about what's going to happen in the future and how the kingdom of God is going to come on the scene and eventually be the largest kingdom that it ever will be and ever is. So God is not biased in who he gives dreams to. He will open up the minds of people and reveal things to them concerning his will and his purposes. So the scope then of a dream can be personal, but it may also be for others. One of the key things I saw as I was going through the book of Daniel is what Daniel did in Daniel chapter 7. And verse 1, Daniel had another dream. It says in verse 1, in the first year of King Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions in his mind as he lay on his bed. Then he wrote the dream down and related the following summary of it. And I'm thinking, whoa. Daniel took time to write down this dream that God gave to him. I have not done that as I should. But I want to encourage us to write down the dreams that God gives to you. Write them down, because what happens over time, you can tend to forget some of the details. You can tend to forget, and we'll mention this later, the feelings that you had as you got the dream. And so it's important to write down these things, because if God has shown you something, we don't want to miss it. And so Daniel had enough insights and wisdom to write down the dream. And that's why perhaps we have some of these dreams here for us today. So write it down. As soon as you wake up, find a piece of paper. If you wake up in the middle of the night, jot it down somewhere so you can remember it. I put here, your demeanor in the dream may be important. One of the dreams that Nebuchadnezzar got is in chapter 4. In that dream, he saw this tree, small tree that grew to become a big, huge tree. And then this tree was cut down, and he didn't understand it. And Daniel gave him the interpretation of the dream. But one of the things about that dream for Nebuchadnezzar is that he felt fear. He was aware that there was something supernatural about this dream. And so that fear gives you an idea that this is something serious that you need to pay attention to. And so the way you feel, what you're going through in the dream can also be important. You know, Glenda was sharing with me a dream that she had this past Wednesday night. And so she was sharing with me in one scene how she felt, in another scene how she felt the peace of God, in one scene she felt a little bit fearful. That makes a big difference, because when you're experiencing the peace of God, you realize that this is something I'm good, something you can rejoice about, while there's something fearfully realized, this is something I need to pray about, I need to intercede, I need to declare God's word so that if there's something bad there, it doesn't necessarily come to pass. When Nebuchadnezzar got his dream in chapter 4, it actually came as a warning. Daniel said, you, O king, you are this big tree. God has blessed you, and all the different nations of the world have been impacted by you. But God is giving you a warning. God is saying you need to, and Daniel says, take my advice, king, and humble yourself and turn from some of your wicked ways. I think I should read that. Daniel 4, verse 27. It says, therefore, O king, may my advice be pleasing to you. Break away from your sins by doing righteousness and from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor in case there be a prolonging of your prosperity. In other words, Daniel didn't sugarcoat things. You know, many of us, part of the problem with the church today is that we get so aligned with politicians that we don't talk to them and tell them the truth of God's word. Daniel was favored by Nebuchadnezzar. All the kings that he served under for the 65 years, he found favor, but you know what? He didn't compromise God's word. And so Daniel says, king, I wish this was, earlier in chapter 4, I wish this was for your enemies, but sorry, king, this is for you. So take my simple advice. And I can see him doing it in an attitude of humility, saying, take my simple advice, king, and turn from your wicked ways, turn from your iniquities. In other words, you're doing some stuff, king, that God of heaven does not like, that goes against his word. Humble yourself and walk in humility. And the king, for a while, for a few months, sort of heeded, and then afterwards he forgot and said, you know what, look at me. I am this great king, etc., etc. And that very moment, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord struck him and he became crazy and lived like a crazy man for roughly about 7 years. The dream came to pass. God gave the king a dream to warn him, to tell him, to listen, humble yourself. Listen, there's a God that you need to give you an account to. And the king ignored the dream after a while and experienced God's judgment. But his demeanor in that dream was one of fear. Telling him, say, humble yourself. There is a God to whom you must give an account. So the way we feel in the dream is also important, so you might want to jot it down as you write it. Last year, I think it was, there were some dreams that were shared here just around October 7th when there was the invasion of Israel. And we need to remember those dreams of people, paratroopers coming down. Because if we forget those dreams, the enemy will come into our midst and we're caught off guard because we forgot the dream. If God gave someone a dream and we shared it here, it's important to remember the dream and to continually be in prayer. Because friends, and what I'm saying, it has nothing to do with politics. I'm just describing the actual reality. The reality is that our borders are open. And people from all over the globe are able to come through our southern borders. And if I was involved in ISIS, I would send some of my folks to come across the southern borders. That's all I'm saying. And so these paratroopers are not necessarily coming from the sky, but they're coming into our country unaware. And God has made this known to us. So you and I, we need to be in prayer. We need to be interceding and asking the Lord to expose these individuals and to bring the frustration on their plans and their plots. And we can't just forget about it because God doesn't give us dreams just for our entertainment. Part of the reason he gives us is a warning and also to prepare us for the future. When you get dreams for others, we need wisdom. Wisdom to know when to share it and how to share it. And I'll give you a scripture for this from Daniel. Daniel 7, verse 28. Daniel 7, verse 28. Daniel says this. After he recounts his dream, he says, at this point, the revelation ended. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts were greatly alarming me, and my face grew pale, but I kept the matter to myself. He saw in that dream different beasts coming forth, and the different beasts represent different kingdoms. And he wrote it down, but he says at that time he felt it necessary to keep it to himself. He had to be wise and to know when is the right time to share the dream. So let's quickly talk about the purpose of dreams. Daniel in chapter 2 talks about that there's a God who reveals mysteries. And so part of the purpose of dreams is to reveal mysteries. In other words, mysteries mean things that you don't know. But God wants to make you aware of these things. Things that only God understands, and he wants to share it with us. Things that in the natural be hard for me to receive because the way my mind is made up, I'm like, nah. But when I'm asleep and God just puts it there and I can't just reject it. No, it's already there. And he's trying to prepare you, trying to prepare me through the dream. And I could take time and share you some experiences that I've had, but for the sake of time, I won't. But many of you understand what I'm talking about. You have gotten dreams about different situations, and you realize you would not have been able to figure this thing out unless you had gotten that dream that prepared you to know how to respond to what you experienced later on. So oftentimes, it can be a warning to prevent judgment. That's what happened for Abimelech. It was a warning to him, don't touch that man's wife or else. In Daniel 4, when he saw that tree, when the king saw that tree, Nebuchadnezzar, it was a warning to Nebuchadnezzar saying, humble yourself. Walk in humility and turn away from your iniquity and your sins. So when you and I pray for people who are prodigals or people who are away from the Lord, we're asking the Lord to send them a dream as a warning to them. To help them to realize that they are on slippery ground. To help them to realize that there's a God in heaven to whom they must give an account. And to help them to realize that time is short. And so they won't hear. You might talk to them. You send people to talk to them and they won't hear. But in a dream of the night, God can speak to them and turn them from their wickedness. And so the dreams, one of it is a warning to prevent judgment. It can also provide steps for redemption. With Nebuchadnezzar there in chapter 4, Daniel said, this is my advice. Here are some simple steps you need to take, O king, so that you are not cut down. Here are some simple steps. Turn away from your wickedness, O king. Humble yourself before the Lord God Almighty, O king. Simple steps that can prevent God's judgment or prevent evil from happening. Sometimes it's God's judgment is God just stepping back and allowing evil to overtake us. Some simple steps for us to do to continue to pray and intercede for our nation and for our leaders. It can involve instructions to receive God's blessing or God's healing. Again, in Genesis 20, God had judged Abimelech and his household. And God told him, said, listen, go and talk to Abraham, he's a prophet, he'll pray for you. And he did, and Abimelech and his household were healed and able to have children. And so it provided instructions for Abimelech to experience God's blessing and God's healing. It can also reveal deception and evil plans. We see this in the birth of Christ, God speaking to Joseph in a dream, telling him, listen, they're going to look for the child, to kill the child. You need to move to Egypt. Or God speaking to the Magi and saying, listen, don't go back to Herod. Go home a different way. But God spoke to them through dreams as a way of revealing that there's deception and evil plans. God will speak to you and to me in the same way. When people plot evil and try to be deceptive, God will show us things in dreams, and they'll wonder how you know. God spoke to me in a dream. God revealed it to me in a dream. It can reveal aspects of who God is and the involvement of angels. You know, Nebuchadnezzar saw this, they call it angel watcher, come down and cut down that tree. He saw the activity of angels in his dream. And many of us don't understand enough about angels. And one of the things you'll see in the book of Daniel is the activity of angels. And so that moment when Nebuchadnezzar forgot that he should humble himself and start to walk around in pride, an angel of the Lord struck him down. An angel of the Lord struck him down and he became crazy as part of God's judgment to him, reminding us, remember that one of the themes of the book of Daniel is the sovereignty of God, reminding us that God is sovereign and is able to humble whoever he wants to humble whenever he wants to do it. That's the reason why you and I need to be able to have the heart of God and the mind of God when we pray. Because sometimes in the natural, we want God to strike people and God's like, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready. Because you and I, we know that God does these things. See, so I'll pray, Lord, in your own time. If you need to remove this man who's destroying Ukraine, in your own time, Lord, just remove him. But have mercy on him, Lord, and reveal yourself to him so that he can experience the salvation that there is in God. But if he won't repent, remove him. In Genesis 28, when Jacob was fleeing from Esau and he went to his bed and having a rock as his pillow, he had a dream. And in that dream he saw angels ascending and descending on a ladder, going into heaven and coming back down. He saw angelic activity, causing him to realize that, listen, God has angels who are there to act on your behalf. God has angels who are intervening in this world, in this physical world. Now, I don't know what you understand about angels, but from the Bible tells me that the angels of God are actively involved in this world, and I believe in my life, protecting me and making sure that I'm on the right path to fulfill God's will and God's purposes. Amen. And in this dream that Jacob had, God spoke his word to him and said, listen, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to do all of these things to you and I'm going to bring you back here. And so in the dream, Jacob was able to receive a word directly from God that perhaps when he was awake, he would not have been attuned to be able to receive. And I believe that that dream and the word of God to Jacob, they changed Jacob's perspective as he spent the next 20 years working for Laban. He couldn't forget what he had experienced because there's something about a dream that if you actually meditate on it long enough, it stays with you longer than just hearing something. Jacob, when he was serving Laban, got a dream, and in the dream he saw the goats looking at, having certain stripes and spots, and the Lord told him in the dream what to do to experience the better of the flock of Laban. But all of that strategy came to Jacob in a dream. He wouldn't have ever thought of putting those little parts of a tree, this popular stripes in the bark of the tree. You would never have thought of it. But God gave him that strategy in a dream. And friends, God will give you and me strategies in dreams. You'll wake up and an idea is there in your mind. And the Lord planted it there while you are asleep. It will reveal God's call or purpose as Joseph got in those two dreams that he had. Two different dreams again. The sun and the moon and the stars bowing down to him. Two different dreams of the corn stalks bowing down. But you know what? They meant the same thing, that he would end up being ruler over his own family, even though he was the second to last one. But revealed for Joseph God's call and God's purpose. And he remembered the dream because when he was there in Pharaoh's house and he saw his brothers, the Bible says in Genesis 42, he remembered the dream. That dream, as it were, caused him to understand part of God's destiny for his life. So I need to start praying for my kids, for God to give them dreams so they understand part of his destiny for their lives. Something that will shape them and keep them. Oh. We mentioned before that through the dream we can get guidance. As the Magi got guidance from God saying, don't go back to Pharaoh, go back home another way. And so many of us, the way we think, God just can't get through to us. So he has to speak to us in a dream to show us the alternative ways or what he wants for us. It can be used to reveal God's call and purpose, as we mentioned earlier, in terms of Joseph, and to confirm God's word. When Gideon went down into the enemy's camp and he listened, they got a dream for loaf of bread coming through and destroying all the tents, and they had enough discernment to know, oh, that is Gideon. He's going to come and destroy us. And Gideon overheard it and realized, oh, yeah, God is going to give me victory. And so through the dream, God was able to confirm his word to Gideon. Even though he had spoken to him, he still wanted confirmation. And so the confirmation came through the dream that somebody else got. I'm going to ask Pastor Sean to come on back. The dreams can sometimes reveal future events. That's what happened here a lot in Daniel. The dreams that are recorded there, many of them were revealing the future events of how God planned to do things, showing the sovereignty of God, that God is in charge, that God is God of all gods, that no matter what one king might decide, he can't prevent the will and purposes of God from coming to pass. And so after Belshazzar, after the son of Nebuchadnezzar was in power, then God replaced him with Darius a Mede, fulfilling the dream that he had given to Nebuchadnezzar from earlier. And so it shows future events, but it shows us how to be prepared for future events. In Daniel 7, Daniel saw a vision of a ram and also of a goat, and he could see what was going to happen, and it helped to prepare the people of God for hardships. One of the things you see in all of these dreams in Daniel is that the kingdom of God is at work and that the people of God would experience difficulties, but the kingdom of God was going to be the kingdom that destroys all the other, and that the saints of God would receive this kingdom. And therefore, they are the ones who will be the victors in the end. And so it was given to Daniel to encourage them in the midst of exile, in the midst of difficulties, realize that in the end, you are a part of the victorious kingdom of Almighty God. So endure hardship as a good soldier of the Lord. And so let me read Daniel 7 and verses 17 and 18 for us. It says, these great beasts, which are four in number, are four kings who will arise from the earth. But the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever for all ages to come. And so Daniel was seeing that, yeah, there are kingdoms that are going to come. Yeah, there are people who are going to arise, that God is going to raise them up and remove them. But the saints of the Most High God would receive a kingdom that shall never, ever be replaced. A kingdom that shall be on the increase, and that they would experience victory of God no matter what happens to them. How many are glad that you're on the winning side? How many understand what it is to be a part of the kingdom of Almighty God? That all sort of stuff might happen around us, but in the end, we are the ones who have received God's kingdom, and we will reign with the Lord on the earth. So don't just focus on what's happening around you now, but keep your focus. Have an eternal focus in how you walk and in how you live your life. Let us stand. So God is a God who speaks to us through dreams and visions. That's one of the things he did in the book of Daniel. One of the things that he has promised to us in this church age. And in the last days, he poured out his spirit upon our flesh, and that we, the sons and the daughters, we would see visions, and those who are a little bit older would have dreams. God's way of speaking to us, preparing us for the future, equipping us, giving us answers to different situations and different and solutions to different issues. Sealing his word in our hearts as we sleep at night. Giving us strategies for the future. Showing us how to pray and intercede for our loved ones. Giving us an understanding that he speaks into the hearts of people, whether they are saved or lost. He does this through dreams and through visions. And that you and I should have confidence as we pray that there's nothing that people can do to prevent him from speaking to them. Nowhere they can hide, where they can get away from his voice. And that no matter who they are, high or low, God is able to humble those who exalt themselves and bring them low. And you and I, as a people of God, we just need to remain faithful to God no matter what. And keep drawing close to him. And keep believing his word. Because it's those who know their God, according to Daniel, who shall be strong and do exploits. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Maybe you're here in this house and you have drifted from the Lord. And this morning God has brought you here and you said, Joe Campbell, I want to recommit myself to the Lord this morning. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you're standing. One hand over here. Two hands. Caroline. Jonathan. Can you minister to yourself? Anybody else who needs to recommit themselves to the Lord this morning? We are living in serious times, my friends. Those dreams of Daniel partially came to pass, in that those kingdoms have come and have gone, and the kingdom of God is still in existence and will continue to increase according to Isaiah. Of the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. And that rulers and authorities can try and oppose the kingdom of God, but I have news for them, they will fail. They are trying right now in China to destroy the people of God who would seek to be faithful to God. But I have news for them, they will fail. And I have news for those who are in Islam, that God is going to continue to speak to them in their dreams and deliver them from the bondage of Islam. But I also have news for us, that God wants to speak to you and me in our dreams. And so I want to pray for us. What I want to pray is that God would increase the ways in which he speaks to us through dreams. That we get more dreams and more visions from the Lord, because it's promised to us in the last days. There may be things that God wants you and I to be aware of, but we can't hear because we are so busy. We can't hear because of our mindset. And this morning I want to pray and ask the Lord to break through to us and to fulfill his word from Joel 2:28, to speak to us in dreams and visions in these last days, to expose the traps and snares of the enemy, to help us as we intercede for our loved ones, to know how to intercede more accurately. So let's just lift your hand to the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you for your promise. Your promise to speak to us in these last days, O God, through visions and dreams. Lord, that is your word. Lord, we see it in the book of Acts, O God, where you continually spoke to the early church through visions. Lord, we ask you this morning, O God, to increase your intervention in our lives. Lord, we ask for an increase in dreams, an increase in visions that come directly from your throne, mighty God. Father, we pray that as we sleep in the night, O God, you would speak into our hearts. You would seal your word, O God, into our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. That, Father, you might give us strategies. O Father God, to fulfill your will and your purposes. That, Father God, you might expose the plans and the plots of the enemy against us, Lord, through dreams, mighty God. That, Father, you might help us to know, O God, what you are up to, and help us to be prepared for the future in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, we are your people, And this is your promise to us, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Lord God, even as your word says that you speak to all sort of unrighteous, we pray this morning, oh God, for our loved ones. Lord, we pray for our friends and families who are away from Jesus Christ this morning, that Father, you might speak to each of them in their dreams, Almighty God, that you might visit them, that you might warn them, that you might draw them in their dreams, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, in the same way in which you are drawing Muslims to yourself, Lord, we ask to draw back our prodigals to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Confront them, mighty God, in their dreams. Send your angels, oh God, interact with them, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, the same way in which you raised up Nebuchadnezzar and you humbled him, Father, we pray also for our leaders, our political leaders, our presidents and vice presidents and others, oh God, that you might visit them in their dreams. That, Father, you might send your angels to speak to them. That, Father God, you might confront them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, do what you and only you can do, oh God, to get through, oh God, to our leaders so that they would become God-fearing individuals. That they, oh God, would walk and tremble before the true and living God. That, Father, indeed, this nation, mighty God, might once again be a place that is recognized for righteousness and holiness. For your word does say that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so, Father, we ask you, oh God, to cause this nation to arise, to become a righteous nation in your eyes. And Lord, we ask you, oh God, to cause it to start, oh God, from those who are in authority over us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, and amen. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. Now we thank you, God, that you are pleased to dwell in us and to dwell among us. Now we thank you for the peace that comes when we are in your presence and we walk with you. And so, Lord, we ask you, God, to continue to draw us unto yourself. And, Father, as we leave here, Lord, we ask you to go with us, Lord, watch over us. And, Lord, we ask you, God, to help us to be in tune with your spirit. That, Father, we would do the things that we see you doing, and we would say the things that we hear you saying, so that you, O God, get the glory, and that, Father God, we are hidden behind the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, may your love so fill us that people are attracted to you, mighty God, because the love they see in us. And so, Lord, again, we give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ, and everyone said, and amen.